All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I'm excited to talk about last night's Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeat the Utah Jazz. Final score 111-95. A good win for Denver. A couple times where I got a little bit frustrated, and I'm sure Nuggets fans got a little bit frustrated too, but most importantly, Denver gets the win. Denver gets it done and sets up what should be an epic night tonight. At least you hope, right? At least you can. One can only dream, one can only hope. Thank you to everybody who's in here at 10 a.m. as we record this over on YouTube. Really appreciate the love and support on the podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe to the video down below. Would be tremendous if you do. We're going to talk about the Utah Jazz win. We're going to talk about Jamal Murray and how he looks sort of after his return to the court and just the way that he has played over the course of these past couple games. And then we're going to talk about the Denver versus Minnesota matchup. That's going to be a lot of fun tonight. I know that everybody's very, very excited for this particular matchup. And why wouldn't you be, right? Like, this is what the regular season should be all about. It should be coming down the wire. You want to get to a place where both teams are really caring about the matchup, both teams caring about the results. And it's possible we get some pretty healthy teams heading into this matchup as well. So should be very interesting to see. But first, we're going to... Actually, you know what? Boyan says in the comments, happy B-Day to Vlatko. Happy B-Day to Vlatko. I hope that he has a great birthday. He has been working on his rehab tirelessly over the course of this past year. And I really hope that he gets healthy here soon. I wonder if he gets ready and gets to play in the Olympics. That would be a lot of fun, just the not just Olympic qualifiers and whatnot, but being able to play in the Olympics for Slovenia would be very, very cool. I hope he gets the opportunity to do so. But I would also say that I don't think he's going to be back for the playoffs. I just extremely doubt it, but I mean, he has been working. He has been great. I doubt that Denver throws him into that maelstrom, but should be good to see Vlatko get healthy and get back out there. But okay, let's get into last night's game first. We're only doing two segments today. I'm going to spend about, I want to say, 15 minutes on Utah, Denver versus Utah. And then I'm going to spend 15 minutes on Denver versus Minnesota. That's going to be my goal. We're going to see how it goes. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Let's get into it. First and foremost, the Nuggets. They win last night, 111-95. They did a great job defensively in a couple of quarters. First quarter and fourth quarter. 17 points allowed in the first quarter, 15 points allowed in the fourth. You like to see Denver get a little bit more aggressive in that mode, especially when you know that they have to win that game. You know that that was a requirement, of course. And Denver gets it done. They do a great job. The way that they came out in this last game was very, very impressive. Jokic, Murray, KCP's defense, Christian Brown hitting threes. Christian Brown goes 3 of 4 from three in this game last night, and I thought started off everything really, really well. Finished with 11 points and 5 assists. A nice little opportunity for him to replace Aaron Gordon in the rotation and give Denver a little bit of a different look. I'm excited to see where he continues to go because he looks a lot more comfortable now at this stage of the season than when he was for basically his first 50 games of the season. So Christian Brown looking pretty good. But the big story is obviously Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, mostly Jamal. Jokic, and I got clowned on this for Twitter for calling like how he plays in Utah horrible. And Jokic obviously finishes with 28 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, leads the team in plus minus at plus 23. I look like an idiot, obviously, when you actually read the stat line out loud. But what I will say is that Jokic, especially during the middle of this game, and even into the fourth quarter when he came back in, it was still like, I've seen what it looks like when Jokic is really trying. What happens when Jokic is extremely locked in and putting himself into a position where the team has just zero doubt. And maybe you look at the other side and you see Omer Yurtseven, you see Luka Šamanić, you see like everybody that he had to match up with. And obviously you're not going to get the most locked in performance. So I understand it. I am not trying to justify it. What I was saying about Joker is that he's played now in Utah 14 times in his career. This was just the third time in his career that he has a positive plus minus. Just three times. And that's like, even with Utah sometimes rebuilding, sometimes not being as good, for the most part, they've been good. But often Joker himself has really struggled in this particular matchup. Is 3 out of 14 times where he's actually had a positive plus minus. Last night was obviously his best game outside of maybe the 7 where that one, I think he had 30, 20, 10. So no, that was his best game. But this one, when you're matched up with Luka Šamanić and Omer Yurtseven and you turn like you're actively dribbling the ball off of other people, you're making some pretty bad passes and missing some easy shots. Like, obviously I was looking at that and having flashbacks to last year's Houston game where he turned the ball over 8 times. Denver loses on the road to a team that's clearly tanking. And that was one of the reasons why he lost MVP. You never want that to be a reason why anybody has any doubt that he is the MVP. Obviously, I think he's the MVP. My entire account has been Jokic propaganda for the past 3 days or so. So pardon me if I make one negative tweet. I'm sorry. But either way, like Jokic, he rounded into form in the first quarter and the fourth quarter, along with when Denver was playing their best defense, had 3 steals and a block. And even in his like shaky moments, obviously 12 of 20 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3, that's pretty good. It's great to see the jumper going in. It's great to see him making that with relative ease. And he looks very comfortable from that distance right now, which is exactly what you want to see heading into a playoff run. So nice to see Jokic sort of figure some of this stuff out. And he looks like I have zero concerns with where he's at. I think he's in great physical shape. He is playing really well when he is locked in. I am not worried at all about Nikola Jokic. Now, Jamal Murray. Really nice to see Jamal Murray play the way that he played last night. 5 dunks in the first half. 5. Like, that's crazy. And this is your point guard. This is the guy who's smallest guy on the floor for Denver for most of the time. And he's the guy who's getting up there, who's getting dirty. And he always likes to screen and cut and do all of these things as kind of a setup man at times for the rest of Denver's offense. And lo and behold, he's the guy who's getting out there and just playing great, just playing athletically. And he didn't just do it on the offensive end. He did it on the defensive end as well. 4 steals and 3 blocks last night. And I think he had one of those taken away. Oh, no. So now I'm looking at the box score. They've now given him 4 steals and 4 blocks. 4 steals and 4 blocks. So this is the funny thing about NBA box scores, because at one point I wrote that he had 5 steals and 2 blocks. Then he had 4 steals and 3 blocks. Now he has 4 steals and 4 blocks when I'm looking at it now. Because they always go back and they change the things based off of what's actually happening out there. But in just 27 minutes, Murray got up 20 shots, shot the ball with reasonable efficiency, 28 points, 11 of 20 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3, including a Murray flurry in the fourth quarter. And then he has 4 assists, 4 steals, 4 blocks. I wonder how many point guards have actually done that this season. Like 4 steals and 4 blocks in a game. Like, it's very rare. That's a number that you just don't usually see, especially from one of the smallest guys on the floor. But his defense was locked in. He looked great. And the way that he plays if he's the one giving that level of effort, it does a great job of setting an example for the rest of the team, because he's not one of those guys that's always expected to be the best defensive player on the floor or anything. Like, that's KCP, that's Aaron Gordon. These are your all defense guys. But if the baseline, if this is the threshold, and Murray is setting the standard for the threshold, and he's getting four steals and four blocks, then like that's an exciting thing for Nuggets fans. That's an exciting thing for Denver's defense. Just looking at the stats on cleaning the glass, in the last 2 weeks, the Nuggets are the fourth best defensive rating. Fourth in the entire NBA. Now, they are, like, obviously that's schedule adjusted. It's not schedule adjusted. Like, Denver's played some bad teams down the stretch here. They've played a couple good teams, but they've played some bad teams too. And it just doesn't matter, because Denver, like, if there's one thing that you can actually really point to, like, Denver's defense has been pretty solid. And if Murray's going to give that level of effort defensively, then fantastic. And then on top of it, he gets 28 points and does a great job sort of setting the table for Joker. And like, when those two guys are playing at this level, like, you get Jokic doing his normal thing, 28 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, and then you get Murray going for 28 himself, it's really hard to stop Denver, because for the vast majority of the other shots, those guys are getting relatively efficient looks. Porter got some efficient looks, didn't make them last night, but most of the time he will. Christian Brown got some efficient shots, made them last night, really picked up the slack. And Denver's bench, not necessarily the best night for the bench, especially from an efficiency standpoint, but c'est la vie. You don't have to worry about that, at least at this stage against the Jazz on the road. But when Murray and Jokic are playing at the level that they play, when they are doing what they are supposed to do, it's just really hard to stop what the Nuggets are putting out there, because like, how could you possibly account for everything at that point? Murray doesn't get to this level very often. He hasn't made an all-star team. He hasn't made an all-NBA team. That's for a reason. Like, there are, like, I think that he has the talent to do it, but it's the consistency, obviously, that has really prevented him from getting to that level. But so far this season, he's had 17 games of scoring 25 plus, and the Nuggets are 16-1 in those games. 16-1 is a that's a pretty great record. That's what that shows to me, is that Denver's baseline for when he's not at that level, it's pretty solid. But when he gets to that place, they're basically unbeatable. And the only time that they actually lost was to one of the home games against the Phoenix Suns, where Jokic wasn't at his peak performance. Denver didn't shoot well as a team, and the Nuggets actually lost that game in overtime. That was one where they probably should have won, and they just didn't end up doing so. But it was good to see Murray play at the level that he did, and I think he's pretty well set up. He didn't play 30 minutes. He played 27. He played 21 in the previous game. I think he's well set up, kind of ramping up here now, final three games of the season, including this big matchup against Minnesota. He's going to be tested tonight, but I do think that he is ready for it. Now, famous last words, we'll see what happens, but I do think that it seems like he's in a pretty good place. Couple more things here before we hit a break. I'm not really sure what Michael Porter was doing last night. There were a lot of shot attempts and a lot of confusing plays that he had. Didn't turn the ball over, but had a couple weird defensive possessions. I thought his defense was mostly solid, but on the offensive end, there are plenty of times where he had an opportunity to get to the rim, had an opportunity to attack the basket and try to either draw a foul or just get an easier bucket against somebody smaller than him. And he just turns, faces up, and tries to shoot a jumper, or he takes a step back mid-range two, or he takes a contested three, yada, yada, yada. Obviously, he's working on his game. He's trying to get to a place where, and also maybe he's trying to save his body for the second night of a back-to-back tonight. But I just watched that, and I thought he basically took two shots in the paint. One of them was a Like, he actually took three, but the third one was a mid-range, like, 14'6", like, on the borderline of being outside the paint at the free throw line. And when I see that, and when I see, like, especially when he's starting at power forward and Christian Brown just hit three threes in the first half, like, you want to try to take advantage of the paint. And he just didn't really do that. So that's something I'm watching. I would like to see him get to a better place from a driving perspective. He's going to have to do so. Jaden McDaniels will probably spend most of the time guarding Jamal Murray, but there will be plenty of time because of Denver's size. I assume Aaron Gordon will be back, and we'll talk about that in the second segment. There will be plenty of times where Michael Porter is being guarded by, like, Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is 6'5". He can't just shoot over him. He's got to be able to take him to the rack a little bit. Like, try to get him into foul trouble. That would be a smart idea. Last thing, I did mention Christian Brown. I want to mention Peyton Watson as well. I thought he had a really nice game. Finished plus three, was out there for 30 minutes. He actually played outside of Jokic. He played the most minutes of anybody last night. 5 points, 2 of 7 from the field. Not a great night as a shooter or scorer. Had a couple possessions where he had to take a mid-range two or sought out a mid-range two where I didn't think it was a great shot. But 9 defensive rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. And he was out there for a lot of the time that Michael Malone was like, you know what? We need defense. We need to shut this team down. Let's put Peyton Watson out there. And there was like, that was sort of how the end of the fourth quarter went as well, because Michael Porter played, I believe, about the first 8 minutes of the, or first 6 to 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, and then Peyton Watson closed. So he deserved that. I thought he earned that with his defensive play. Thought he earned it with his rebounding. He was skying for some of those rebounds. And when you ask somebody to be better on the glass, that's the kind of effort that you want to see. Now, Utah's not exactly the biggest team. And to me, there is reason to believe that Peyton Watson is probably going to play a little bit smaller against a bigger team like a Minnesota. But he's going to have to be at his best. He's going to have to be physical. He's going to have to play strong. He's going to have to defend without fouling. He's going to have to be imposing. Because if he's not, then Denver probably doesn't win tonight. They just won't. So we will see what happens. I'm looking forward to the matchup. But it was a good win for Denver in Utah because, as I mentioned yesterday, today doesn't matter. This matchup against the Minnesota Timberwolves does not matter if Denver loses in Utah. And they have had some pretty poor moments in Utah before. This one they obviously needed, and this one they didn't face guys like Lauri Markkanen, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, John Collins, Walker Kessler, basically all of the players that have given them problems before. But it didn't matter. They needed to get a win. They got the job done, and they did it without overstressing any of the players out there. So good stuff. They took care of business, and that's exactly what you're looking for heading into a matchup like tonight. So let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about this big-time matchup between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves for the one seed. Should be a lot of fun. But first, we're changing the game here at Superbook Sports. Win some money this season with the most trusted name in sports gambling with a direct line to Las Vegas. You can use their promo code MILEHIGH to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll. And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Let me just retweet the link about this podcast. All right. Let's get into it. Let's talk about what this game means. The Nuggets have only ever been the one seed once in NBA history, once in their NBA history. And it was last year. Last year, Denver obviously took care of business. They got the one seed. They were effectively the one seed for the entire months of December, January, February, March, and April. And they clinched it in April because they kind of messed around in March and early April. But they ultimately got it done. And as everybody knows, that was a big deal. That was something that they absolutely needed. And now, with three games left to go for the Nuggets, for the Timberwolves, for the Thunder, for most of the teams in the Western Conference, there is a strong possibility that the Nuggets get the one seed once again. Let me pull up the schedule, or not the schedule, the snapshot. Denver right now is the two seed at this current moment in time because they do not have the tiebreaker against Minnesota. If they had won one of the last matchups, or one like the last matchup against Minnesota where Minnesota came in here and thrashed Denver a couple weeks ago, then this game would be very significant still, but it would also be an opportunity for Denver to just outright clinch a potential tiebreaker against them. And if they could do that, then the last two games of the season wouldn't even really matter. That would have been really nice, but don't want to look back too far. Right now, Denver is 55-24, as is Minnesota. Denver's magic number for a top two seed is 3. That means that they could lose tonight. They could win the next two games. And if OKC lost one of their remaining 3 games, then Denver would have a 2 seed. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. Just looking at the schedule, looking at what OKC has to really solve, their last 3 games, I believe they have an easy game tonight or tomorrow. They have a matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks, who I believe are clinching the 2 seed, and that's not going to really matter. And they are going to match up against the Dallas Mavericks in the final day of the season. So, and Dallas is going to clinch the 5 seed. They can't really move from where they are. So they're not going to play for anything. Dallas will sit all their guys. OKC, if they need that game to really move up ahead of Denver, they'll win that game. Wouldn't it make the magic number for a 2 seed to be 4? No, because Denver at this point, if Denver just wins their final 3 games, then they clinch the 2 seed. Now, they'll also clinch the 1 seed in the process. But the story here is that if this game, this Minnesota-Denver game, didn't happen, if let's say Denver was facing the Lakers instead of Minnesota, then Denver just has to win their final 3 games. It doesn't matter that it's coming against Minnesota. But because this final, like this game tonight comes against Minnesota, it will also factor in to the 1 seed race. And so I'm not necessarily doing a great job of explaining it, like with haste, but the point is that Denver at this point, tonight is the most important game of the season. Tonight is definitely the most important point, because if Denver wins this one and then they win the final 2 games, they will guarantee that they'll be the 1 seed and have a similar path to the playoffs and a similar path to the NBA Finals that they had last year. They will never have to think about starting a series on the road until the NBA Finals, and that's only if Boston makes it. And Boston, like, they should make it. They are clearly the best team in the Eastern Conference, but crazier things have happened before, just like last year. So I think it's going to be interesting. Yeah, magic numbers are confusing. Imagine having to track them all at the same time, and imagine doing magic numbers for the top 6, for the top 4, for the top 3, for the top 2. I've messed this up multiple times, so no need to worry about it, Michael. The larger point being is that Minnesota, Denver, OKC, the Clippers, and Dallas have all clinched a playoff spot now. The Pelicans, if they win out, because Phoenix has the tiebreaker over them, if the Pelicans win out, then they will be a 6 seed. Phoenix looks like they're going to be in the play-in. Sacramento looks like they're going to be in the play-in. Lakers, Warriors, looks like they're going to be in the play-in. I'm curious to see how it goes because like the playoffs are everything is still up for grabs, except it looks like the Clippers and the Mavericks are going to be in the 4-5 unless something crazy happens. So going to be fascinating. Going to be fascinating to see how this looks. But now let's talk about tonight's matchup. Denver-Minnesota. Denver's obviously lost two of the three games to Minnesota. And I would argue that the third game, the one that they played in Minnesota about a month ago, 3 weeks to a month ago, that one was basically like Minnesota nearly won it. But they were playing without all three centers. They were playing without Rudy Gobert. They were playing without Naz Reid. Obviously, they were playing without Karl Anthony Towns. So it's hard for me to really use anything from that one as, oh yeah, this is the reason why either the Nuggets are better or the Timberwolves are better. Like, it's hard for me to really evaluate with that perspective. But Kat could be coming back. He's not going to come back tonight. Adrian Wojnarowski, he corrected Shams Charania on Twitter, basically, saying, yeah, Cat isn't coming back tonight, but there is a possibility that he comes back for the final couple games of the season. So while the Timberwolves aren't going to get reinforcements tonight, they will be getting them shortly. And with Cat out there, the T-Wolves just become so big. Like, they're already starting Naz, obviously, but they are so big. And they'll have so many rotations and so many options that they are a problem for Denver for that reason. Think about what happens when Jaden McDaniels is guarding Jamal Murray. Like, Murray, I think, did a pretty good job in the last matchup that those two guys played against each other. Obviously, he didn't play in the most recent one, which was about a couple weeks ago. Reggie Jackson started that game, played pretty badly. He shot 1 of 10 inside the paint. So, Murray, he's going to have to shoot better than that. I will say that Murray's finishing around the rim when it's not a dunk has not been good for much of this season. And especially when he's going in and out of the lineup with injuries, trying to work his way back, he has not been at his peak performance. So I will say, like, if he's attacking the rim and he's double clutching around the rim, he's trying to avoid Rudy Gobert and Jaden McDaniels and all the length and athleticism that they have, that's probably a win for the Timberwolves. So what Murray needs to be able to do is create efficient and effective jumpers. And the Nuggets need to be able to create efficient and effective jumpers. Now, the Timberwolves know this. They're going to try to use as much length and athleticism to prevent those jumpers if they can. But Murray attacking the basket, double clutching, pump faking, pivoting, that's exactly what the Timberwolves are going to want tonight. So watch out for that. That's one of the big battles that I have in this one. What happens to Murray when the Wolves are full strength and he can't necessarily create the best shots around the rim for himself and for Jokic? Now, he's a better setup man than Reggie Jackson is. He commands more attention than Reggie Jackson does. So Jokic should be in a better position to score, should be in a better position to receive shots around like the 6 to 8 foot mark, whether it's a floater over the top of Gobert, whether it's you catch it in the middle of the paint and then he makes a paint move. Not sure what it's ultimately going to look like tonight, but I will say, if Denver scores 110, if they score about that level, then I think that they've got a really good chance because Denver's defense, especially when Murray's locked in, when the entire team is locked in, it's been a lot better. And I think that the T-Wolves game where Denver, they weren't really ready for the T-Wolves. They weren't as locked into the game plan as they needed to be the last time they faced the T-Wolves. I think that'll be a little bit different this time around. Now, famous last words. If the T-Wolves are dropping 120, I doubt that Denver can keep up with that with the length and athleticism that the T-Wolves have defensively. So there's going to be a couple pivot points here. The first one is Aaron Gordon. What does he look like in this matchup? Is he going to be back first and foremost? I think he will be back. I think he's going to play. But it just would not surprise me if, even if he did play, that he wasn't super effective because this is a matchup that he just struggles with. Naz Reid's going to start. He will guard Jokic, which leaves Rudy Gobert to roam off of Aaron Gordon. Now, Gordon, I thought in the last matchup that these two teams played, he started off that first quarter really well, finding gaps, finding the seams in the defense. And then he went away from it, and then Denver went away from it, and Jokic was just taking a bunch of shots, and that's not the way to beat Minnesota. Denver was bricking shots everywhere that night. They were bricking threes, and probably should have made more than they actually did, obviously. But the most important way to crack the T-Wolves is to find the easy shots that you can around the rim. Denver's not going to find a bunch of easy shots, but the more that they can, especially with Gordon dunking the ball, that will really help. Now, if Gordon gets fouled and he shoots 50 to 60% from the line on like 10 free throws, kind of like he did in Denver's last loss, who is it against? I don't remember. He shot 8 of 14 from the field. Somebody will tell me in the chat. But that one, like, you got to finish the shots. You got to finish. And if you're not finished, oh, it was the Clippers. That was who it was. Thank you, Michael. But yeah, if it was the Clippers, and if Gordon is finishing those shots, rather than getting fouled and only getting one of two from the line every time, Denver will have a much better option. On the other side of the ball, who the hell guards Mike Conley, and who can stop him? My guess is it's going to be Jamal, but Jamal's not necessarily great at navigating the screens on the perimeter. Conley is so athletic, not athletic, but like agile and smart, and he creates space so much so that he gets the floater, he gets the dribble three. He is basically shooting like 46 to 48% on pull-up threes since the All-Star break. I don't remember what the number is now. They played a couple games since the last time I saw the stat, but he's been shooting lights out from the three-point line. And if you remember, Reggie Jackson was getting caught on a lot of screens the last time these two teams played against each other. And that was a problem because Mike Conley hit like five threes and they're all off the dribble. They were all like not necessarily easy, but they're well within his wheelhouse, especially if he's shooting the way that he's shooting. So that is one where Denver just can't give that up every time. Murray's got to do a good job of getting through those screens. And it was so bad at one point that Denver had to shift around their matchups and put KCP on Mike Conley. They can't do that. Like, they've got to find other ways to be better on that defensive end. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if, bear with me for a second, if Denver matches up with Jokic on Gobert, Michael Porter on Naz Reid, Aaron Gordon on Anthony Edwards, KCP on Mike Conley, and Jamal Murray on Jaden McDaniels. That wouldn't surprise me at all if it were to happen, because one of the things that you need against Anthony Edwards is size. He can't bully to the rim all the time. If Gordon is athletic, if he's feeling good enough and he's feeling athletic enough that he can stay in front of Edwards, that would really help. Now, I personally think that KCP is a better matchup for him, but I've also heard from other folks, like whether it's Matt Moore or some of the folks with Minnesota, that they prefer the KCP matchup for Ant because he just has the size advantage rather than against Aaron Gordon, where he can't really go through Gordon. He has to go around him. He has to shoot over him. I'm not sure what's better. I know that Edwards has had success against Gordon in the past, but he's also had plenty of success against KCP. This is where you miss guys like Bruce Brown, who not necessarily, like, he still gets shot over in the post every now and then, but like, if Edwards is going to go to the post every time against a guy like Bruce Brown, fine. Like, that's okay. It sort of takes them out of what they want to do from an offensive flow standpoint. So that's something to monitor. What does Peyton Watson look like in this matchup? Can Peyton Watson play in this matchup? Can Denver provide enough offense when Peyton Watson is out there to justify having him out there? Because he seems like the right guy to match up with Edwards. He seems like, from the length and athleticism and physicality perspective, like, he's a little bit more physical than KCP is. but he is like, and he has the length and athleticism to block some of those shots where KCP doesn't. So that's one that I'll be watching too. Finally, I think if I were to put a, I think Michael Porter has to have a good game. I think if he doesn't have a good game, then Denver loses. Jamal is going to have the Jaden McDaniels assignment for most of the time, which means that Michael Porter is being guarded by Anthony Edwards for most of the time. Mike Conley will spend a lot of his time on KCP. I think that if Minnesota is going to do those matchups, Michael Porter has to be a good off-ball mover, cutter, and shooter. Like, he's going to get opportunities. Anthony Edwards, for as good as he is on the ball defensively, is not a good off-ball defender, or at least that's where his weaknesses lay. If he can get free on DHOs, on cuts, on spacing the floor, shooting over the top of somebody like Edwards, that could give Denver a big, big, big advantage. Because so much of Minnesota's defensive attention, it's going to be dedicated to stopping the two-man game. Joker's going to get his. Jamal's going to get his. The Wolves are going to try to mitigate as much of that as possible. But if Michael Porter's getting 20-plus points, and he hits five threes, and spaces the floor, and forces the T-Wolves to adjust, that could help things late in the game for Murray and for Jokic. And if those guys get the space that they need, I think Denver can get this done. I think that they can. Both teams coming off of a back-to-back. We're going to see what happens with it. J.K. Walrus asks, not sure if already covered, but we expecting AG tonight. I expect Aaron Gordon to play. He might not, but I expect him to play if he is good enough. Because while Denver, they know that they have to save him for the playoffs, they know that they understand that. If he plays tonight, Denver can sit him in the next couple of games and still be fine. Still be fine against the Spurs and against the Grizzlies. Like, they'll be okay from that regard. I'm very curious to see how they handle it, but I do think that Gordon will be out there. I think that he is necessary. I don't think this is the best matchup for him. I also think it doesn't matter. I think he's got to play. I think he's got to be good, and I'm curious to see how he does it tonight. Joseph Adams says, this is a measuring stick game and will show what this year's team is made of. The time falling back on what was done last year is over, so are the excuses. I'm not sure if I fully agree. I think that, look, as Nikola Jokic said last night, tonight is not like, it is not the defining game of Denver's season. It's not. Maybe it's the most important game to date, but the fact is that Denver has bigger goals than just the 1, 2, or 3 seed. They can win a title if they lose this game. They can. And I think that it's important to recognize that. Now, will it be a big momentum booster? And if Denver gets the 1 seed, then they have the best possible situation to win? Sure. Absolutely. Could they match up with Phoenix in the first round if they're the 1 seed and still like go to a 6-game series? Yeah, absolutely. Like, if they even win a first game series from the 1 seed, that means that they got to play the Clippers or the Mavericks in the second round. And both of those teams are pretty tough. So no matter what happens tonight, no matter what, Denver's path to the playoffs, path through the playoffs and to the NBA Finals, it's going to be tough as hell. That's just how it is. Whether it's the 1 seed, the 2 seed, or the 3 seed, Denver's going to get one of those three. If they get the 1, it's going to be tough. If they get the 2, it's going to be tough. If they get the 3, it's probably going to be tougher. But I do think that this game, it'll be a defining moment for the regular season. And if Denver does get through it, more power to them. If they do get through this, and if they send a message to Minnesota that the title still runs through Denver, more power to them. You don't want to give Minnesota as much like mental warfare like over the top of Denver. Like, you just don't want to do that. And if Minnesota wins in Denver twice, yeah, I could see why that would be bad. But we'll see. We will see what happens. I'm very curious to see how it breaks down. But folks, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll. Thank you for hanging out with me today. Thank you for listening to me ramble about Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and games that may or may not mean something for the rest of the year. We will see what happens. I'm very curious to see how it goes. But if you can, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button down below. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on audio, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Would mean the world to me if I see some of those reviews come through. Tell me how I'm doing. Tell me how you like the show. And if you'd like me to change anything, whether it's start times or different things that I sort of do throughout. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. As always, we'll talk to you guys very soon. Thank you.